not.
You can ask Bob. You guys should ask Bob. Because I'm too distracted by all this out here. It's crazy. I'm like,
so are you on the subway or are you just walking along the streets?
I'm walking along the streets on Fifth Avenue. I just hit 57th Street.
When you said you were walking or around in New York, I instantly got kind of a neat little tingle, like, wow, part of us are in New York now, interacting with New York from where we are, just via you.
Bob should come back. He's making this hard for me. I didn't have anything pre-planned. I just wanted to know what was putting me on the radio show, because I didn't get to hear it, really.
Well, it's kind of just
Kiki, what do you think? Kiki, what do you think of the extraterrestrial presence in our world, or the ideas about it?
I think that people should be realistic about it, and they shouldn't be too pessimistic or optimistic. That just because some extraterrestrial beings are more advanced than us doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be your best buddies, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be your worst enemy. I think they have their own concerns and their own decisions. And like anyone, you know, like us being human, they have their own conflicts internally. And I think it's really naive to say either way, that whether how good or bad they are. And I think there's multiple races of extraterrestrials. And I think there's an interplay in all that. And I just get really irritated when people are like, either one extreme to the other, like, oh, the aliens are going to kill us, or the other people are like, oh, the aliens are here to liberate us. Like, how the fuck do you know? Like, it could be both. That's what I you know, it's like, it's Joycean, you know, it's both. It's not either or, it's both. That's what I think about the whole extraterrestrial presence. It's both. It's good and it's bad and it's neutral and it's everything else. It's just both.
Like,
and that's my attitude. Yeah, that's my attitude towards it, and I really don't tune into people who have one end or the other. You know what I mean? I mean, we're human beings and we're evolved, but we still kill animals and genocide ourselves, and we're supposedly advanced. So, but it doesn't mean that just because a species is, you know, above us, doesn't mean that all of them are going to enslave us. You know,
yeah,
there's something going on. We just don't know what their personal business is. We don't really have. We don't know their personal conflicts or what they're struggling with.
Yeah. I don't think that there's, I haven't been involved in that for a while, but I don't think that there's a large number now that are all one way or the other. I know there's that Dr. Stephen Greer who tends to be all the one way, like, oh, they're all wonderful, gonna, you know, do wonderful things for us, but... yeah, I agree with you, totally. It's going to be, like, they're like humans. There's a lot of humans I wouldn't want to spend 10 minutes alone with. And then there's a lot that are really nice, but if, you know, somebody's meeting one of, you know, the ones that aren't that nice and comparing all humans by that, that would be pretty sad.
On the tiny note chart, the X particle and the wormhole is in the... in the Dobbs column, or the Bob column. And I'm guessing the reason why there's not a lot of them, because it probably takes a lot of energy to do interstellar travel, so they probably don't really appear in large numbers. Because it's probably a very, you know, energy and resource, you know, heavy type endeavor to do that type of travel. So they probably just don't pop up all at once, or it's not necessary for them to pop up all at once. But, you know, I do know that, you know, the center of the galaxy is a pretty heavy place. You know, they say there's a lot of black holes there because of all the massive stars. But at the same time, you know, it wouldn't be prime for life in the outer edge of the galaxies. There's like a sweet spot, you know what I mean? Like, the physicists talk about, you know, the probability of life. But we're starting to discover more planetary systems. You know, even within our solar system, we're finding water. We're finding that life could develop in different ways, you know, not necessarily in the same manner, you know, but it still has the chemical properties that can develop another form of life. And they're probably just, like, very primitive, like amoebas or whatever, but I think that the extraterrestrials exploited the natural resources of the whole solar system, because it's not just Earth that has all the raw minerals and water and atmosphere, but, you know, there could be plenty of natural resources in the asteroid belts or around Jupiter and Saturn's moons. So I think there's probably some presence out there. I know that the Russians sent out a satellite to one of the moons of Mars, and they found out that it had a strange resonance, that it was possibly either hollow or artificially made. I don't know if it's Phobos or Deimos. It means fear and terror. But I think there's going to be some interesting kind of discoveries if you look at, like, Mars in particular and its two moons, because that's the last terrestrial planet before the gas giant. And, you know, there's a possibility that there was life there before, you know, whatever caused its atmosphere to leave, you know, like, I know it's very H.G. Wells-like to just call it a canal, but I think it's plausible. I just don't know what time frame.
Has Ion, I know you've listened to lots and lots of Ion in the past, and I can't recall, has Ion spoken about extraterrestrial very much?
I don't know. I think he did, but I just didn't have the time to listen through all of it. I assumed that this was one of Bob's current beliefs because he heard it from the Evergreens, and I figured that he trusted them, so that it just was kind of redundant for him to talk about all the time. So, I mean, he probably has private sessions, you know, because not all Ion sessions are, you know, released to the public. People have their personal life and stuff. And but the only real little controversial question, you know, I don't want to piss off Bob now, but he would speak about how, you know, he was involved in all the major 20th century events, and that, you know, he represented each of the first five quadrants with, like, either a political or organizational group that influenced the 20th century in some manner. And he said, you know, he worked with them on some level, to some degree, and that he was, like, a satellite conductor for all five of these. So what I want to know is, what was his introduction to Freemasonry, and at what part did he play? Because that's the only really blind spot I know, because I do remember some of his involvement, like, you know, smuggling Connie around Europe a little bit and having to deal with Nazis and, you know, Brits and Prince Thurnoon taxis and the Council of Ten. But the only thing he never really talked about was his involvement with Freemasonry and a particular Romanov family, not the one of the Tsarist family, but another Romanov family. He never spoke about those two things in particular, where the Romanovs and his dealings with Freemasonry. And I thought, I don't know, it's kind of, I think it's, he's saying he won't talk about the JFK assassination because he's worried that all of us are going to get killed if we talk about it. But I sometimes wonder if he's still afraid of things and pretends like he has no fear, because Bob is like, he could totally bullshit anyway. He's like, oh, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Really? You're really afraid for my life? I mean, I'm such a pain in the ass. Why don't you just help me kill myself by telling me things I shouldn't know. Like Freemasonry and the Romanov dynasty that he was talking about. And this is not the Romanov dynasty of the Tsars, but another Romanov. And I remember going to a bookstore, and there was some kind of underground book that's saying that how some Nazis from the Third Reich and some group within the Soviet Union made some kind of pact. You know, like, United States have Operation Paperclip, you know, like Wernher von Braun making our Apollo program. The Soviet Union had the same thing, but I think it went a little bit beyond just the space program. And I don't know if that has to deal with, like, arms dealing or movements or you know, I sometimes remember Bob saying something about gold popping up in Japan that nobody could account for. The Peter Beater stuff that's wacky and kooky, but it kind of, it's like, it's more science fiction-y than the Mae Brussels stuff. You know what I mean? Because I could just forget about the JFK assassination, but the things that were talked about by Peter Beater are very, like, wow, they're, like, very heady. And, you know, Bob always said, like, take the things I talk about with a grain of salt. I'm not saying everything that I'm dealing with is 100% true. I'm not trying to lie to anyone. It's just simply, take a look at all this, he's saying. But I wish that, you know, he would go back to those subjects, like Peter Beter, the Romanovs, and the Freemasons, and his extraterrestrial understanding. Because,
so,
like, you can tell, like, how he's going to deal with the public by his last name. The fact that this show, he's Bob Neverett, means he's in liberal mode. If I say anything too sexist or too, if I yell at too many females on the radio or scream at, I'm going to be muted. So, and I understand, I'm an asshole sometimes, and I apologize to people.
Before you go on, Kiki, what I wanted to ask you, when you brought up the Freemasons, now, the show started out, like Bob told you, with he was reading your communique with Sheila.
Uh-huh.
And now, listening to you in person, you sound awesome. But that some of the writing, it sounds so harsh.
Yeah.
Now, I
it had
know,
to be.
Are
it
you,
had to be. I
well,
have to, I have to
say,
shock
why
people.
Do you, you what?
I have to shock people so they can sit and think for a while that maybe the things that are doing is not going to be accepted. Because to most people, it's just like an image. You know, like, oh, this is peace. This is not, this is just symbolism. It doesn't mean all that. I'm not trying to force my ideas. Because Sheila, when she talked to me, didn't sound like she had some kind of agenda or anything, you know? So I'm not trying to accuse Sheila per se, like, damn, the Freemasons hired her. But whether she's aware of it or not, whether, you know, by synchronicity, if you will, that's exactly what she's painting. And I guess it's because, like, when you're in the New Age movement or you're around these thinkers who are, like, outside of the box, you're going to come across images and symbols that are, you know, timeless to a degree, and you're going to repeat them. And she may not be aware of that. And, I, you know, like, maybe she didn't deserve that, but at the same point, that is the fact that that's what that image is. I mean, I told people I read Freemasonic literature. I don't read shit off the Internet. I go to a Freemason library, you know, I check a book out, and, you know, the Masons give me some dirty looks and shit, and I read, and I take some pictures, and I walk out, and I know exactly what I'm reading and looking at. So if someone tells me otherwise, I'm like, I'm sorry that they didn't decide to go read a book. And that's what the whole point that I was, like, really frustrated with the audience was about, this counterposing image versus the alphabet, when I was trying to tell Bob the alphabet and the goddess is a disproven, is a very unscientific book. Okay, there's so much brain imaging that is done to disprove it. It's a joke. If he keeps on hoiking it up, if he, it, like, thank God that this radio show is archived, because he thinks he's really intelligent, but 5 years from now, when people have the time and patience to read and look at the actual empirical brain imaging, and he'll look like a fool. And this whole, you know, literacy started the patriarchy because it's subjected to perception of the McLuhan stuff, and then these radio callers saying, you're stuck in the LaRouche quad, when I willingly left the whole LaRouche movement. I have huge disagreements with Plato, the Republic in specific, and I'm just saying, hey, both me and McLuhan are sexist, but the difference between me and McLuhan is I'm more accurate, and I can prove that. If anyone wants to go, you know, get my email, talk to me, you know, have the time to read my articles that come from, you know, world-renowned universities doing real science, not psychological speculation, but real neurological science, and then they would just get it. And they would just think, okay, McLuhan, you're a little outdated. Maybe they need to listen to Eric McLuhan, you know, his son. Maybe his son's a little bit more in-depth, or maybe his daughter.
Where do you have these written where we can look at it, of your writing?
I don't really engage with the public too more, because I feel like I get, like, if you can find my Facebook, I'll give you one article at a time. I'll give you some paragraphs and some references so you can look up and see it for yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Reading Rainbow. You don't have to believe what I say. Go see it for yourself. You know, I'm a little Jordy here, you know, just, you know, you either take the red or the blue pill, but I'm not trying to drug you. You know what I mean? Just, you got to make the effort to go down that rabbit hole. Otherwise, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some literate person who needs to protect, defend my point. It's just simply, I'm going to give you some communication. You can read it. When you're done reading it, you'll realize that Alphabet and Goddess is a horrible book. Why don't you go to Africa and tell those women to go be illiterate and say that's going to help them progress? What the hell do you think all these United Nations organizations are trying to get literacy up in Africa? You're going to say, oh, stop being literate. That's patriarchy. You can express you. No, it's going to allow her to read so she can pass some exam and go emigrate to some other fucking country. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's like he's saying I'm stuck in the past, But I could flip the same thing on him. He's stuck in the past by talking about, you know, cause and effect this way or effects and causes that way. But we're nothing in but the now of now, is what I'm saying. We're in the now of now, not the then. Okay, maybe literacy was an instrument of patriarchy back then, but in terms of the McLuhan era being the electric age, McLuhan himself said that Satan was like some great electrical engineer. You know, like the Robert Guthrie quote, I agree with it mostly, but not 100%. You know, like the original Bob stuff was like to be an individual, not a tribe. Yeah, you want to read everything you can from every single point of view. Yeah, sometimes I do have to read some of this literature just to think maybe I need to be more reflective. But the point is, once you break out of the mold, once you break out of the matrix, once you become that individual, realize that your source of power, you have to be retribalized, because everything that people does that has a source of power is tribal. The fact you got a radio show and listeners is tribal. The fact that you need money is tribal. Money doesn't exist without circulation. It's tribal. So when liberals tell me, oh, you're not individualistic enough in that because you're stuck in a tribal mind, I'm laughing, because they're coming from a tribal point of view. Get individual so you can seek your own power, your own ascension, but after you've done your individualist trip, realize that the real source of power is being collective and finding like-minded individuals to get shit done. You know what I mean? The patent for the RNA drops is J.W. and Carolyn Dean. I don't see Bob Dobbs' name on the frickin' patent. Okay, maybe you forgot to put it on there, but that's the whole point. You work together. You know, the Manhattan Project wasn't done by one person. If you want to do great work, you do it with other people. And that's a simple message. I'm not trying to tell anyone, oh, you need to be a fascist. Or I'm not really trying to tell people what should be, but what is. And people don't read anymore, so they have no time to figure out what is. And meanwhile, they're telling me what to do and saying that I'm telling other people to do. I'm just trying to tell people what is. If you guys can't figure it out, about the whole cover-up about how men and women's brains work and where they're trying to shift us. You know, whether or not you're right brain-oriented or not is a matter of now, but what we find in commonality for the general population is different. So, and I was saying, Connie was saying, yeah, they are superior because they have that corpus callosum, you know, ability. But what I was trying to send some word to Connie a little bit more is that, and where populations where women are not promiscuous, men have the larger corpus callosum. And I'm not talking about gay men, because gay men inherit most of their genetic qualities from their mother. But I'm talking about the paternal lineage by the father. I was saying how Connie's lineage is a solid patriline. And even though she's a female, she has a solid patriline. It's a fact. She's an aristocrat. And Bob is trying to pretend to be everything, but he has to remember he was a butler. And he's not Connie. Granted, he drove her around France, but she had the money and the connections, and he just has to acknowledge that. She stuck her head in the books for 8 years to become a doctor. Why don't he respect that? You know what I mean? And it's funny because
why do you think that Bob doesn't respect that? I get that he has
high respect for her. No, because he's too busy quoting his own legacy about being McLuhan's archivist, that if any rebuttal comes to McLuhan's shortcomings, you know what I mean, that would undermine his listening audience, that people wouldn't feel like they want to go through. And I'm just saying there's not enough Arthur Croker memes, because if you guys are going to get so damn liberal and universalistic, why don't we get a little bit more complex and go to the tetrad and just get out, you know, this chaos. I dare you, I provoke the audience to go to the postmodern Croker memes instead of using McLuhan and Thompson to blind people to the actual complexity and reversal that's happening right now. I'm that person who lived through that reversal. I wasn't born with money, okay? In spite of the fact that most people, I'm a white person, I'm a multi-ethnic background, and I came from a single mother household. So the things that I say are actually resonate with people who are working class, but not necessarily Republican neocon assholes. And to call me a new conservative is basically a slap in the face. And Bob kind of knew that. I don't know if he's doing that just to make me think a little bit more, be a little bit more suave with my speech, but it's a smack in the face. People who really know me, they get me. You know what I mean? For some reason, Bob and Leon likes my stuff. For some reason, Chad likes my stuff. Maybe they're all ignorant cavemen, if you will. But maybe they see some things that other people don't do, and I think that's because they read. If you don't want to read, that's your problem. I can't open the...
Okay, very good talk there. I just got to put you on mute for a minute. There's other issues. We'll come back and address your questions eventually, someday, maybe tonight, maybe later. I heard everything you said. Good points. I would like to give, there's a Twin Cities caller. Don't know what that means. Area code 763. They were waving. I don't know who you are. Do you want to say something?
Hi, Bob.
Oh, who's that?
I think Lynn's going. Did you unmute me?
No. I don't want to. Are you the Twin Cities caller? No, you're not. You're on another one. So, is that Lynn talking?
No, this is Gene.
Gene. Okay. No, good, Gene. All right. Let me just read Gene's messages. I was going to get to them. These came in a while ago. Let's see. Gene says. She says, we have many great messages. And before we get to you, Gene, I must acknowledge Tom out in Boston is listening and making relevant statements. He says, a while ago, he said, another pristine playlist, Bob. Well done. I think he's responding to what we just heard this hour. And then a little later, he goes, beautiful contrast. When I contrasted Kanye West with... who was it? Who did I? It's a long time ago. Adele? No, we did that the first hour. Kanye West with... Oh, yeah, Cosnomi, I think it was. Can't Help Falling in Love, the old Elvis song. And then he goes, beautiful contrast. And then a little later he goes, hallelujah. He's really digging the music. I was listening to the music with him and enjoying it. And so I just want to give Tom kudos for commenting on the soundtrack. And, yes, like great contrast, because after Elvis, we went back to, I don't know what we did. We ended up with Sister Rosetta Tharpe from the 40s, 70 years ago, Blues on the Rails or this train. But in between there, I don't remember what I played. It was relevant, though.
Okay. Wouldn't it make sense to make a list of the
songs? No, I'm too busy listening to Kiki and trying to remember everything, talk to everybody.
No, but make a list as you're putting them up.
No, that's not, it doesn't go that way. It's
okay.
Okay. Bill, I don't want to harass Bill with that. Okay, so now, Gene, let's see, she does a link, and let me go back and find Gene's first message. Just met Gene, okay. There it is. I have 3 horses, and we just bought chickens and a cow. This is for you, Carol. How many drops do you put in 50 gallons of water?
Wow. Now, there's a mystery and a conundrum wrapped in an enigma.
Well, I go with Ion saying that we humans don't understand how the smaller, the more powerful. So I don't think you got to put a lot in.
No.
Or you would try with a little.
Yeah. I mean, Michael's there saying one. So, yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
I do more than one. I can't go that far. put in 10 drops, Gene.
3.
What I decided to read the next one.
3. Do we have a 4?
Yeah. I go with Bob Penn.
The next message says that I think what I'm going to do is put a few drops in their feed. I put a drop in my cat's wet cat food every once in a while, and I'm going to do the same with the big animals, but maybe a few.
I think you should put in the water. I don't know.
Really?
What do you think, Karen? Water or food? Horse feed? Just liquid seems like it's supposed to go through your tongue, sublingual. That's liquidy. Might get lost in a big chunk of chow.
Chunk of chow.
What do you think? You can do both. Always just do both, Gene. Try both. Don't make a decision.
Yeah, you do the experiment and let us know.
Do both, Gene. Then you can figure it out.
And I just had a thought. See, the water... We fill the tank every couple days, but then sometimes you forget to shut off the hose, so you fill the tank way up, and then after a few days, if the horses haven't drank everything, then I dump it on the ground. But that's not necessarily a bad thing to dump.
That's right.
RNA first water
These things spread inevitably, emanatably. You know, like this, we don't know what this thing is eating up the carbon of the global warming envelope. It's almost like this is a monster pterodactyl. One little drop is one little huge monster. It's non-physical. It's way more powerful than our physical. What did Ion used to say? There's more in a little, you know, you put the whole world in a little sugar cube, and non-physical is way bigger than that, in between your atoms and electrons. It's huge.
If you scrunch down the whole population, what's physical would fit into
a
sugar cube, which means the rest of us is non-physical.
Yeah, so we actually can't use normal measurement imagery, calibration imagery, in what the drops are doing. You just probe with it, experiment with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at that woman. Gee, what are you pointing at, Carol? Is there something upstairs?
Yeah, the bathroom. Are you going to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's relevant to story.
Yeah.
The maids, we have a bunch of maids that come over, and we make jobs for people. They like to make money, so we say, okay, come clean Carolyn's mess. So they come and clean, I don't make a mess, but they clean Carolyn's mess, and so they get uppity after a while, and they start saying, you need to caulk the tub there. The tub needs caulking, you know, C-A-U-L-K-I-N-G.
Right.
Not peaches porn, two guys for every girl. This is C-A-U-L-K-I-N-G, caulking. And so Carolyn says, sure, bring some over. And actually, Carolyn had some underneath the sink. So she gives her caulking 3 or 4 weeks ago, just before she went away. While she was away, I had to deal with it. And so they put the stuff on, and it doesn't. It's supposed to dry in 3 or 4 hours, or at least 24 hours, you know, stop being sticky. It doesn't get sticky-less. This is 3-4 weeks ago, people. So then we decide, well, that was crappy old silicone stuff. It was transparent caulking or something, right, Carolyn? It becomes transparent.
Yeah.
And so we went and got a new bottle, a new tube. So the guy came and he sprayed, got the old caulking off, and he put the new thing down 3 weeks ago. It never dried. It never stopped being sticky. I haven't had a shower in my own tub in a month now, waiting for it to dry. Luckily, Carolyn's tub, what is it, shower place, it's really nice, so I don't mind using it over there.
Over there.
Over that one.
In her house.
I don't have to wipe it down like mine. Mine tends to get the mildew if you're not careful. So I can't wipe anything down because it's all sticky. So this goes on for weeks and weeks, and then it hits me. Wow. Our RNA drops exhalation. This proves our environment here is different. This stuff can't dry because it's non-oxidized air or something. Who knows what's going on here? So I present this to the maid. She says, no. She doesn't believe that. So she comes up and looks at it and says, no, there's heat behind the walls. There's heat near the laundromat and all that. So she thinks the heat is coming through and preventing it to dry. But that's 2.5 weeks ago, she said. And the over in the sink where it's applied, that's not near the walls. There's no heat there. So the stickiness never goes away. And so the maid gets frustrated, and I'm emailing her to do something about it, and she's yelling back, stop exhaling! This is the best she came up with, to tell me to stop breathing or exhaling. So that's all good and fun, T-H-U-N. And so I wait, then finally the mail maid comes over today, Brian. And he goes up there, and he brought in a new kind of caulking. Did you see it, Carolyn? I think he brought...
Yeah, the old white stuff.
White stuff.
We were used to.
So he said he had this great idea. I'll just stretch it out a foot or so, and we'll test it for a day or so, see if it dries. But meanwhile, so he goes upstairs to do it, and a little later he says, Bob! He starts screaming, Bob, come up here! So I what the hell happened? So I go upstairs, and what's happening? He's peeling off the caulking from a month ago, the new caulking that was put down 3 weeks or a month ago. It's like strips of bubble gum. It hasn't even stuck. It is all one nice, perfect thread all the way around the tube.
Jello.
Now, when he arrived here, I forgot to say this, Carolyn. He had talked to an engineer and a bunch of people describing how the caulking had not dried, and they all said, that's impossible. Never heard of that before. So when he came here, he's a bit more open-minded to the RNA drops. But now he's peeling it off, and he's never seen this kind of strippiness that happens. He says, definitely going on, and there's something going on in this house, Bob. And he's a convert, and he left a couple hours ago. And he's a convert, too, we got something unique going on. So what's his solution? What are we going to do?
See if the white stuff dries.
Did he put some up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he put a little white stuff. So that's another testimony, people. Right here at Dobbstown Iandom, our air, it counters all material rules.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You right. can't even get a caulking going. So I hope you're all impressed with that story. Did you like that one? Everybody like that?
You need to put a caulking warning on the RNA bottle.
Now, very good, Michael. Okay, so Gene, have we dealt with your issues? No, there's another... No. Okay, Gene, here's this. Augmenter says, I have noticed that the two untamed horses in the free-range herd that grazes in our fields have taken an interest in my elbows and hands. I think he's on the drops. So you can expect your horses to start nuzzling around you, Gene.
Well, they already do that, but I'm curious.
Is that unusual, Gene? Is that different from before?
No.
Oh, well,
that isn't.
Then forget it. It's not new evidence.
I haven't directly given the horses RNA drops yet. And what I'm curious about the cow and the chickens is that we'll eventually eat the meat. So that is fascinating, and it will be a bit of a research
project.
Oh,
you mean chickens don't eat meat?
No, Bob.
No, we will. The family will eventually
eat the... What? When Jean eats the chicken?
Yeah.
What, she's hoping they're different because they've got the drops in them?
Carl said the same thing with his sister's chickens. He said, okay, if the shells are getting this way, the content, if you're eating it, I wonder if that's going to be different for our food.
Wow.
So, and that includes the eggs that we eat as well from the chicken,
right.
You know, the... Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's like Johnny Appleside, you know, apple seed, cyanide. It's apple cyanide. It just spread this stuff around. It's going to work beautifulness all the time, you know? So, yeah, spread the wealth.
I also have a theory, Bob, about RNA's impact on animals. I think that animals are going to respond to it much quicker, like... The eggs changed in 2 days.
Yeah.
That surprised me. Now a chicken is much smaller, but it has to do with the last few shows, actually. And I actually took notes. See, I'm getting more organized in my head.
Go ahead.
It has to do with, okay, I had a revelation. And I've heard it all my life. You know, the new agey thing. But it was a combination of listening to the last probably 4 programs of yours. And I don't know, stuff that's come my way in my daily activities, I guess. We truly have been the creators that Ion talks about all along. That's never changed ever. That's always been the case. We've gone farther and farther and farther away from even the concept of entertaining the concept of being gods. And then you explain the impact, and I related to the Quadrophenia state. Was it last? The very end of last Thursday
show. 2 shows ago. Yeah, the last show or the one before.
Yes, and I've heard you describe Quadrophenia over and over. You talk so damn fast, number one. But it sunk in, and so it's almost a search to find me again. And when you say you don't know who you are, it's acknowledging that you don't know which one of you.
Yeah.
Is speaking, is actually speaking. I get it, all this, I get that. But that's connected to, there was a show recently about the tribes had a knowing. I can't remember, I'm not going to remember the terminology, but it was Ion. Okay, you remember that?
The pre-litter people had a knowing.
Yes. which resulted in no need for communication in any physical kind of way, because the non-physical understanding of who we were was in place. And yeah. Animals in some way still have that. In some way they still have that connection or that knowing or that. Even
you know,
Kiki,
they don't have the knowing. They are just non-physical.
Yeah. Right. Oh, of course. Yeah. See? Well, there you go then.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. They're as non-physical as anything else.
Yeah, people think that nature is physical and we're in between. We're confused humans, half physical, half mental, half spiritual. But iron turns the imagery. It's nature. What we think is physical is non-physical, and we're the physical. We're the nature through our voice.
Right.
Totally flip the imagery.
And then we make that special, more special than non-physical.
Yeah. That's right. And Ian says they have no pain when they die. It's nothing. They have no issues. The animals have nothing. No problems. They don't mind dying.
Why do they die then?
Because something eats them or beats them up. I don't know. They're not as important in the sense of us. They're not as eternal. They're not physical. They're non-physical. They were created to be our entertainment, to be our place to have bliss with. Like
so if we choose for them to die, they will go? Or what if my horses become immortal with the RNA drop?
Things are changing. All these things that we're saying, Ion changed. We woke Ion up. Non-physical came forth to create for the first time. That's a huge revolution or transformation. Yes, we're stating what was, but knowing that everything is being changed right now. Rules are being, and Ian said that in his communique a couple of months ago. Remember he said, you're going to have to re-ask all the questions. Everything's changed since 2012.
So, yep. Bob, the reason that I was asking about knowing where the, like, which continents and where the
yeah.
RNA is being used is for this reason, is knowing how it does affect everything around the people that are using it.
But you're making the mistake, Wendy, of putting a visual map. The RNA drops coming out of the a few thousand purchasers of it, wherever they are, is affecting matter beyond the space-time dimensions of a globe and a world grid. It's happening on another level that communicates faster than matter can even be charted to be 3D. So we don't need to know where it's being done.
Okay.
Who's doing like Akito? Akito, didn't Akito cause Fukushima? One guy out there listening, engaging with Ion, and he was the only one equipped to survive it easily. Do you anybody of the old school, Brian here? Remember Akito was? Akito got mad at us. That's right. He got mad at something we did, and he emailed in. This is Cat Castle a few years ago. And because he got so mad at us, his non-physical brought the bad news that he was pissed off of onto him. And so he realized that his tantrum had caused the collapse of Japan. But he caused it, but he didn't suffer under it because he had the RNA drops. So that is one person interacting with Ion. Sheila caused the Icelandic traffic jam in the airport.
The volcano blew up. And the ash stopped all the air flights because she wanted to stay in Paris a little longer.
But none of you did what I did. I woke up non-physical. I woke up the guff. Top that one. We got the guff running about causing little people like the Akito and Sheila to cause huge things. See, that's what I triggered, so let's bring it back to Bob. Let's bring it back to the source. Always bring it back to the source. You can't go wrong. You know, what's interesting, carry on, Wendy. Anything to add to that, or did I side-rail it with my truth?
You side-railed it.
Okay.
That's okay. Let's get back to the favorite topic of Bob.
Yes, and we got incredible messages pouring in. So I'm going to have to, I've only got 5 minutes, but I got to catch up on these messages. They're pretty good. Some of them are questions, but here's Allison. Allison's going nuts over here. She's just back. She was trapped in Chicago at the expo and then got trapped here and there and trapped up in San Francisco. She says, location here. So happy to hear this all live again. Bob, I can hear the way you and Carol pronounce the word again. Sounds like again. No internet for almost 10 days. Wow. Kind of loved it. Best part about the break from the chip body was the way I could still exchange experiences and orgasms with Ion. Chicago was a blast. So fun to see Carol and all. What an Ionic trip it turned out to be. So that's her first message. Then she says, oh, yeah, Gene, I do notice that YouTube. I'll check that out later. You know, you send a YouTube. There's Tom saying beautiful contrast, hallelujah. Then Allison comes back in, 8:15. What I love about Kiggy, I hope Kiggy's still listening, is how he is the most judgmental person. He is the most judgmental person about non-judgment I possibly have ever encountered. Kiggy is the most judgmental person about non-judgment I have possibly ever encountered. And in a very Bob-like way, Bob-like in quotes, he can talk about anything. He is still fascinating to me. Now, that she was saying that, I'm not sure, maybe before she heard Kiggy talking. I'm not sure. But then she says, 8:30, 15 minutes later, I contend, Kiggy still sounds to me like one of Bob's children in quotes. Which Bob is still in question? Which one had the children? I actually haven't heard the Bob that I observed as Kiggy's father for a very long time. He is almost representative to me of the very antagonistic Bob, there to inspire questions, emotions, and shock. I get why you are airing this now, Bob, and he can be exhausting sometimes. So that's Allison now hearing Kiggy deciding that he's a prober, if like the antagonistic Bob. Then she says, 8:35, now I am laughing out loud at Lynn. I am at Lynn and the Sky Goddess Impersonator. Can't recall her real name.
Attempting.
Wendy. Okay, so I'm not sure what she's saying. She's laughing out loud at Lynn. Oh, she's laughing at Lynn. Oh, yes, Wendy is the Sky Goddess
Wendy.
Impersonator. Oh, yeah, right. Can't recall her real name. Attempting to enjoy the Kiggy rant. So I don't know what you guys are. Did Lynn say anything? Oh, I don't know how she. Were you guys? I don't know how she would know how they're responding. Did they say stuff? Wendy
they were talking.
Okay.
Wendy and Lynn were engaging Kiki.
Oh, that was during. Did Allison come into the phone call? Because you could come into Brian's show and listen on the conference call. Maybe.
Well, she said she was listening live.
Okay, so maybe she was listening to. I know Kiggy and Wendy were talking when I was playing
mm-hmm.
the music.
Right.
Maybe. Okay, so that may be what she's saying. Maybe she'll clarify that. Then she writes another email. She says, another animal testimonial. I have a cat who is on RNA. He already considers himself a panther. he goes outside and has access to the wildlife in our large yard. He's now able to catch hummingbirds as well as many little mice and moles. They're always offered as still alive. Rarely do they expire. So, I mean, he comes and brings them to Allison. Still alive. Rarely do they expire. And our typical outline is to send them back into the wild. Cats catching hummers?
Yeah.
Hummingbirds, that's odd. That's
to catch a hummingbird, that's pretty
tough.
Hard.
That's tough, eh? Okay. So she's impressed with what the RNA drops have done to her cat. Then she says at 8:45, I have three horses to try with the RNA drops, three very different ages. I'll report next week. Then she says, 8:50, brilliant, Gene. She's complimenting you, Gene. And if she saw you in the, if Gene saw Bob in the physical, she would love the speed with which you operate. I not only talk fast, Gene, I operate fast, according to Allison. And the animals, the complete non-physical. And also to note, mimicking our non-physical. This is to be noted here. That is why they often look like us physically. XOX, so maybe she's finished. Oh, no, she's back. She says, you are the ultimate, Bob, but I caused the weather craziness in Chicago so I could go to Oakland and see my kids. Yes, she got stranded, whatever weather craziness, and she couldn't get home, missed the chip body for a week, but enjoyed her family. Then she says, right now, I am trying to give you a timeline so you can reference all these silly, in-quick messages. I know I should just call in. Yeah. Well, didn't you just call in? So that means she didn't hear, she's not listening to them on the Brian show. So that was all just because we've got a minute left. Here's Greg. Got one message. Greg in Atlanta. Sunday, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses stopped by to give me the good news. I decided to give them some Ion news. I say to them, heaven is closed. He flips open his Bible and says, you may be right. Only 144,000 get into heaven. And then Greg says, wow, I'm stunned. I forget to tell him about the 144,000 strands of DNA. So the guy outdid Greg, but that was his first time. Yes, Greg, just keep doing it. Rehearse it. You'll remember the routine and remember what you left out. So, yes, you practice that. Not nice effort there, Greg. One for the Jehovah's Witnesses, nothing for Ion. It's only the first inning. Greg now goes walking the streets looking for them rather than waiting for them showing up once every 2 years. So let's do our countdown. 9, 8, very relaxed. 7, 6, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Back to Kid Ye.
All they're saying is that you got to get back to the only thing that ever worked anyway. And if you want to call that very simply, no dogma included, relax and allow and let it unfold, because that's what's happening anyway. Be easy about all this. Enjoy. Get happy in the skin you're in.
Okay.
Because if you can't, the only alternative is to transition and lay your body down.
Right.